Welcome to the Hope Community Sunday Podcast for November 2, the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. I'm Dan Nygaard. For many of us, the persecution of Christians, the persecution of the church, is an uncomfortable reality. We cannot help but ask, why does God allow it? Why does God allow His people to suffer evil? A fundamental principle of Christianity, and especially Protestant Christianity, is we go back to the Bible. We go back to the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments in search of understanding, in search of revelation, in search of explanation for what God is doing in our world in our lifetime. Sociologists inform us that more Christians today face persecution, serious, life-threatening persecution, than have ever faced persecution in all of Christian history. We cannot help but ask, why does God allow it? If you have your Bible or your smartphone, turn with me to the Old Testament, to the book of Daniel, and we're going to be focusing on the story recounted in Daniel chapter 3, but we will also be looking at other portions of Daniel to understand the story. Today we look at the quite famous story, still today in our post-Christian culture, the quite famous story of three Israelis cast into a fiery furnace. As we recount this story, you will notice that this story, like many, many biblical stories, are very compressed and abbreviated accounts. The authors of the Bible focused their message, their text, on key points and on the big idea they were trying to communicate. The brevity of the scripture text allows space for storytellers, and we must understand throughout much of Bible history, throughout much of Christian history, God's word was spoken aloud to groups, large and small. Very few people had access to the written word. It was costly. And so, both in the Hebrew culture and subsequent Christian culture, teachers, whether they be rabbis or pastors, teachers would read and retell in their own words these biblical stories. And the brevity of the story afforded room and space for the hearers to apply this story to their own time and place. We are going to attempt to do that today with the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So turn in your Bible to Daniel chapter 3. And instead of me reading a portion of the scripture, we're going to work our way through the entire chapter. Instead of reading the entire text, I will read chunks of it and fill out the story, help us to fill out the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, my prayer, our prayer, in these next few minutes, may Jesus and Jesus alone be exalted. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. History and the biblical text alerts us that Nebuchadnezzar was the ruler of the Babylonian Empire that captured and subsequently destroyed the city of Jerusalem, the city of the Jews. And the Babylonians took away to Babylon many, many of the people of the Jews, particularly the talented ones or the royals. Daniel chapter 1 records that among the Jews taken into Babylonian captivity were four Jews of royal blood: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel chapters 1 and 2 tell us how these four foreigners became prestigious counselors and rulers within the Babylonian Empire. Chapter 3 of Daniel introduces us to a crisis they confronted because they were foreigners in the Babylonian Empire. On the plain of Dura, within the Babylonian Empire, King Nebuchadnezzar set up an image of gold, 60 cubits high, 6 cubits wide. That would be about 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. Now, why would he do this? Well, the concept resulted from a dream he had, a dream that troubled him. He wanted his counselors, his wise men, to interpret the dream, but King Nebuchadnezzar tested them. He figured he would not trust their interpretation until they first told him what he had dreamt without his informing them of the dream. Only one of the king's wise men could do that: a foreigner, a Jew from Jerusalem named Daniel. Daniel accurately recounted for Nebuchadnezzar what Nebuchadnezzar had dreamt. Daniel then interpreted the dream, and Daniel assured King Nebuchadnezzar that that dream had been given to the king by the Most High God. Most any narcissistic authoritarian would do what Nebuchadnezzar did: make a replica of what he dreamt, set it up on the plain, summon all of the bureaucrats, all of the authorities, all of the rulers within his empire to the dedication of this statue, and command that all the satraps — that was a name for a governor — prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials must bow down to this statue. It is well worth noting that Daniel chapter 3 three times lists the imperial rulers who have come to this dedication, lists them as the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the advisors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the other provincial officials. So he's got the whole imperial bureaucracy gathered there, and the herald loudly proclaims, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up." The imperial herald goes on to say, "Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as the band began playing, all the imperial governors and rulers bowed down before the statue of gold King Nebuchadnezzar had raised up." The first seven verses of Daniel chapter 3 introduces us to at least three problems. One is the problem of idol worship. Now, this is not a problem for Babylonians, but for the people of God, this is a great problem. The second problem is the problem of tyranny. It's a sociological problem. The first problem is a religious or spiritual problem. This is a sociological problem. Tyrants want unity and are not afraid to use deadly force to achieve unity. The third problem here is that the king is misappropriating a divine revelation. Again, recall that in chapter 2, the king had a divinely inspired dream of a huge statue. And so he commissions the building of a statue. He gathers all the imperial leaders together, and he wants everyone to worship this image. Nebuchadnezzar made the same problem that many Christians make. Nebuchadnezzar thought that God's focus was him, but his revelation was actually a revelation of God's divine plans for human history. The revelation, the dream, foretold the beginning and the advancement of the kingdom of heaven on earth. So many Christians so often think the Bible is about them, when in fact, the Bible reveals the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near. And the Bible does invite you to get on board and become a part of what God is doing. But the Bible accurately recounts God's revelation of himself to his creation. The Bible is not a self-help book. The Bible alerts us the kingdom of heaven has come near. The Bible invites us to become a part of God's plan. It is about God's big kingdom, God's heavenly kingdom. It is not about your little fiefdom or my little fiefdom. So the band has played. Everybody is bowing down to this huge gold image King Nebuchadnezzar has made. But at this time, some astrologers come forward and denounce the Jews. Fascinating how this story, centuries before the birth of Christ, is applicable not just to the time of Daniel, but it's applicable to our time as well. Astrologers came forward to denounce the Jews. We live in a culture today in which a large segment is once again denouncing the Jews. These astrologers or wise men say in verse 12, there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are Babylonian names given to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, three Jews who, along with Daniel, were brought into the imperial service of King Nebuchadnezzar. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are Chaldean or Babylonian names, and scholars are quite sure that Abednego means servant of Nego, who was the number two god in the Babylonian pantheon of gods. However, it's quite mysterious what the names Shadrach and Meshach symbolize, but they were Babylonian names given to Jews who were now rulers in the Babylonian Empire. The Jews are denounced for acting Jewish. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are denounced for refusing to serve other gods. Exodus 20, verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. They are denounced for rejecting idol worship. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4 and 5. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are denounced for being faithful to their religious beliefs. And quite likely behind this denouncement is the fact that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have been made rulers over some of the locals. Learning that these three had not bowed down, Nebuchadnezzar is furious with rage, and he summons Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up?" A little side note is in order here. King Nebuchadnezzar had previously acknowledged that the God of the Jews was the Most High God. Daniel chapter 2, verses 47 and 49. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." And at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon. Now, it's possible King Nebuchadnezzar by this time had forgotten what he had said to Daniel and what he had done for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But more likely, he recalled it because in the very next verse, verse 15 of chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar says to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "Now, when you hear the sound of the music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" King Nebuchadnezzar is giving Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego a way out. But next to this opportunity for escape, Nebuchadnezzar includes a tyrannical threat: immediate execution. Verse 16 and 18 of Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, rather defiantly, express confidence in God's power to deliver them, while not presuming God is required to deliver them. And their terminology here, "he will deliver us from your hand," suggests that they may have viewed death as a form of deliverance out of the Babylonian captivity in which they were trapped. The story continues, verse 19 of Daniel chapter 3. "Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He was giving them an out, and they defiantly rejected his gracious opportunity of escape. Nebuchadnezzar ordered the furnace heated 7 times harder than usual, and these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace." The details here suggest no shenanigans were possible. These 3 are cast into the fiery furnace, fully clothed and firmly tied. And the furnace was so hot that it killed the soldiers who cast them in. Within minutes of having the 3 cast into the fiery furnace, verse 24, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, 'Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the furnace?' The advisors replied, 'Certainly, your majesty.' He said, 'Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods.'" Miraculously, amazingly, in the furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are free and unharmed, and there is a fourth man of mystery. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted out, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God." See, he remembers. "Servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here to me." Is it not interesting that the king does not invite the 4th mysterious man who looks like a son of the gods to come out? Verse 26, "So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them." This was a thorough miracle, and it was a miracle witnessed by the entire Babylonian bureaucracy. Verse 28, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar said, 'Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants.'" Now listen to the good theology of Nebuchadnezzar. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. As a result of the defiance of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and as a result of God's miraculous intervention on their behalf, King Nebuchadnezzar pronounces to all the administrators of the Babylonian Empire official state protection towards the practitioners of the Jewish religion. Verse 30, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. No doubt, King Nebuchadnezzar desires to placate so powerful a god, and Nebuchadnezzar seeks to benefit from the servants of so powerful a God. So here's the question. Why did God rescue Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego while so many other Jews perished? What is the purpose of Yahweh's intervention? Were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego especially good religious Jewish kids? I think the key here is the triple repetition of all the imperial administrators who are present and witness this miracle. Not only do they witness the miracle, but they hear with their own ears from the king's mouth the imperial edict that the Jewish people and the Jewish religion must be protected. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, miraculously rescued from the fiery furnace, was Yahweh working out his plan of salvation via the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David? This miraculous event made the Jews in Babylon to be honored and protected. This miraculous event continued God's great salvation plan. And here is our hope. Our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, believers do not bow. Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. If we are thrown into the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Standing up to persecution elevated the witness of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. November 2 is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. Today, we pray for our sisters and brothers around the world who are saying defiantly to their persecutors, "We will not bow. You may be able to kill us, but our God can deliver us. Our God will deliver us." The crisis of persecution faced by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego elevated their witness for God. All people everywhere, from King Nebuchadnezzar to your neighbor, all people everywhere deserve to hear about their Heavenly Father, the God of the Bible, the I Am. That includes those who are persecuting our brothers and sisters. Today, we pray for the persecuted church. We pray also God's mercy upon the persecutors of Christians